Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 78, recorded Saturday, October 3rd, 2009. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: Lost in Distraction and A Movie About Us. This week, coming to you today from the Travel Commons studio outside of Chicago, Illinois. It was a light travel week for me this week, just out to Philadelphia for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then back to Chicago. But a heavy work week, which unfortunately pushed this episode of Travel Commons out for my intended recording date of Wednesday, September 30th, to today, Saturday, the first Saturday in October. I'll tell you, looking at my calendar, I find myself in the midst of one of my six-week straight sets of travel. It started 2 weeks ago when I had to be in L.A. and D.C. the same week. I tell you, I just hate doing the transcontinental thing in the middle of the week. Last week was Philadelphia, New York, not too bad. Next week, D.C. and Boston, and another week in Philly, and then another LA and DC week. You know, the way it's looking, I think I'm going to be traveling every week until Thanksgiving, which, of course, meant this was the perfect time for my suitcase to break. You know, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks, I mentioned a couple of episodes ago that the bearing on one of the wheels is shot, giving me a very nice squeak, squeak soundtrack as I walk down the airport concourse or go trundling through a prospect's office space, which I did last week in New York. It was definitely embarrassing. There was a lot of prairie dogging, you know, heads popping up from the cube field looking to see who was making that annoying sound. I tell you, it's a surefire sales technique for you. But now one of the handle supports has broken, making the suitcase twist every time I pull it onto the plane or cross the street, and making it just about impossible to attach my computer bag to it. So I'm going to have to suck it up and buy another suitcase. You know, it's not like I haven't gotten a lot of mileage out of this bag. 6 years, it's, say, 100,000 miles a year. And it's not like it cost me a lot, maybe, I don't know, $200 at TJ Maxx, and it's held up better than my colleague's $700 Tumi. His is only 4 years old, and last week dropped the entire wheel subassembly, like the wheel and all the surrounding bits that keep it in the bag, dropped that whole subassembly on the ground while he was sprinting for a flight in LaGuardia. No, so it's, you know, it's not like I'm dissatisfied with the bag. I mean, it's given me good service. It's just the hassle. And I mean, how excited can you get for shopping for my umpteenth black 22-inch rolling bag? I don't know. Maybe I'll go for a new color, something that will stand out in the overhead bin, something that will, you know, express some individuality, something like, I don't know, navy blue. So, following up, you know, sometimes when you're traveling and things start to go sideways, you want to vent, just blow off your frustration. But to whom? I mean, certainly not to any airline personnel. I mean, at best, you'll be ignored. At worst, you'll be kicked off the plane and or arrested. Probably not worth the hassle there. I mean, and if you're traveling with a colleague, you know, you can sort of kvetch a little bit, but you have too much and you start to look like a whiner, not a reputation that will propel you far up the career ladder. For me, Twitter has become this little bolt hole into which I can scream my frustrations, from broken United planes to the conga line of frustrations that is Washington's Dulles Airport. I package up my woes into 140 characters and shove them into the Twitterverse. I've probably made a few of you guys unfollow me, but You know, that's okay. It's a small price to pay to avoid getting busted by those gentle and sensitive, caring guys who populate the Chicago police force. Now, for Lori Hum, a longtime Travel Commons listener, the Travel Commons comment section can provide a needed outlet, reacting to the latest addition to the TSA's security play acting. Lori writes, "Mark, I'm about ready to lose my mind. Apparently, my airport, Richmond, is about to be the testbed for another level of security. We already have the body scanning machines, and now this, screening of powders. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the addition of powders to security, especially given your pride and constant defense of your tooth powder. I moved to using all powder cosmetics to avoid carrying any liquids at all, and am starting to resign myself to being makeup free if that's what it takes to avoid being sidelined for additional screening. By the way, still doing the Richmond to Baton Rouge weekly haul. This makes my 15th month. If that doesn't make someone lose their mind, this additional screening certainly will." Lori, thanks for that note, and I hope being able to sort of dump it out on the website was at least slightly cathartic. I'll tell you, you know, the TSA just doesn't get it. You know, they just don't get it when they announced the powder screening as quote unquote implementing new enhanced threat detection capability. That's nice governmental words, right? In the TSA's blog, Blogger Bob, and that's his tag, as defensive and oblivious as usual, says, "Well, we haven't received any specific threats that led us to this new procedure." Great, Bob, thanks. "But we thought it made sense to put in place some new annoyances for travelers and, I don't know, get some practice in before the holidays." Well, just kidding about that last bit. Bob actually did write that, unlike the liquid ban, there was nothing specific that caused them to launch this powder parade accompaniment to the shoe carnival. Now, however, I'm not too sure that my snarky little annoyance comment is too far from the truth. But having said that, I've yet to see anyone get flagged over a powder check. Now, I've seen a bit of an increase in the random wiping tests. The guy behind me Tuesday at Midway Airport had his shoes wiped, and I've had my computer bag wiped at O'Hare last month, but that's not a big thing. I mean, it's no unpacking and repacking of bags, no rummaging through your toiletry kit. You know, just a couple of wipes on the outside surface, maybe the inside surface of the computer bag with a test pad. They run it through what I guess is some sort of, I don't know, mass spectrometer or something. And, I mean, it takes a minute. They're usually done before I get my shoes retied. I got to say, though, that the tougher part of that note is 15 straight months of flying between Richmond and Baton Rouge. You know, I may complain a bit about flying from L.A. to D.C., but 15 months of connecting through Atlanta. Think about that. Hartsfield twice a week. I'll tell you, I'm not sure anybody should be hassling Lori about anything. And the final follow-up. You know, we've been going through this ongoing thread, I don't know, it seems like most of the year's episodes so far, about in-flight electronics. Now, flying out to Philadelphia on Southwest, like I said, Tuesday morning, you know, okay, I know I said that I wasn't going to fly Southwest again for a very long time after they left me hanging in Little Rock, but they've got a double credit promo going on right now, and I've got 12 flight credits in the bank. So with this trip, I get four more credits the four more credits I need for a free ticket, which I'll then give to my mother for a spring visit from Denver out to Chicago. So in the vein of don't cut your nose off to spite your face, I sucked it up and took the free ticket. So anyhow, back to Southwest's in-flight magazine, they had the best layout of allowed in-flight electronics that I've seen of any airline, whereas the South Africa airline rules about no in-flight smartphones, I mean, that was buried halfway into a paragraph of text full of all sorts of other rules. Southwest had a very nice graphic layout. It's got three sections, always allowed, allowed above 10,000 feet and never allowed. I mean, really nice. And I don't know, there was nothing really controversial. Smartphones in airliner game mode are allowed above 10,000 feet. I did notice that wireless mice, like my little Microsoft mouse, is never allowed, according to Southwest. But noise-canceling headphones are in the always-allowed section. Now, given that they have an on-off switch, most by-the-book flight attendants will see the red light on my Bose noise-canceling headphones and tell me to switch them off. But I guess, I don't know, on Southwest, I guess they're good through the whole flight. I don't know. Go figure. It's one more example of sort of the lack of consistency in rules, which I'll tell you, I think is one of the main drivers of travel frustration nowadays. Well, anyhow, if you've got a question, a story, a comment, want to yell and scream your frustrations, the voice of the traveler, send them along. The email address is comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or you can send me a Twitter message at mpeacock, or you can post them at the website at travelcommons.com. First topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is lost in distraction. You know, we've talked in a number of episodes about things being left behind by travelers. We did a podcast on the study about the number of laptops left behind in airports. I talked about people walking away from a TSA checkpoint in JFK without their shoes. I think Steve Frick was the one who gave the example of the overflowing box of power adapters that just about every hotel can pull out when you ask to borrow one when you forget your own. A couple of weeks ago, when I was unpacking for my last New York trip, I discovered that I'd left a pair of olive slacks in my hotel room. I mean, it was one of those head-smacking moments. How could I be so stupid? I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm leaving a little trail of belongings behind me as I travel. Now, most of them are small, pens and books and magazines and, quite honestly, enough toiletries to make up a couple of complete kits. But some are big. I mean, you know, the olive slacks, my original pair of Bose headphones, and one time an entire suitcase that I left behind in the trunk of a cab. Okay, so I'm not sweating the books or the toothbrush, but come on, an entire suitcase? I mean, other than creeping senility, what's my problem? Well, at least for me, it's answering my cell phone. I mean, every time I've forgotten something big, it's because of a phone call. The Bose headphones, my flight had landed in San Francisco, I was standing up, pulling my suitcase out of the overhead, and the phone rings. Of course, I answer it. Now I'm juggling my phone, my jacket, my suitcase, my briefcase, all while trying to slide out into the aisle. Distracted, I completely forget about the headphones in the seat back pocket. I don't remember them until the next day when they are long gone, a birthday present for the son or daughter of one of the cleaning crew. My olive slacks, one of those days. It was just one of those days when I couldn't get out of my hotel room because of serial phone calls. The phone rings, I answer it, 15-minute conversation, I hang up, I start to repack, only to have the phone ring again, another 15-minute phone conversation, and another call comes in on call waiting. I look at my watch, damn, I gotta get out of this hotel room if I'm gonna make my flight home. I don't do my usual room scan, and I just walked out light, one of my favorite pair of pants. Now, when I'm not distracted, I'm usually pretty methodical about leaving hotels or planes. I mean, I think my wife thinks that my hotel routine is borderline obsessive compulsive. I mean, I empty the bathroom out, I pack up my toiletries, then I go back in, check around, turn off the light, boom, close the door. Okay, that room's done. Never go in it again. Then over to the bed. I throw all the pillows on the floor, which I'll tell you, in some hotels is like 8 or 9 pillows. It's getting a little silly. Then I snap the bedspread to send sort of any hidden socks flying up in the air. Then I clear all the flat surfaces. It either goes with me or, you know, kind of like the room service menu, goes into a drawer. I mean, this is how I didn't leave behind my iPhone charger this past week. I was clearing off the desk, and, you know, these desks end up being just, you know, sort of this unholy tangle of hotel modem wires and lap cords and little promotional bits of material in Lucite stand-up stands. And then, of course, my own tangle of electronics. I thought I had everything packed, but was making one more scan, you know, cleaning off the flat surfaces so I could, you know, give everything one more look. And there, as I was cleaning off the desk, I found I had forgotten to pack my iPhone charger. I'd missed seeing it in the midst of sort of the Ethernet cord coming out of the hotel modem. You know, and coming off the plane, I tick through a mental inventory, even patting myself down to make sure I've got my wallet, my iPhone. You know, I look, but I don't put my hands into the seat back pocket. I mean, it can be ugly in there. But all this takes some concentration, you know, avoiding getting lost in distraction. And I was thinking about this the other day when one of those iPhone commercials came on. I mean, there's an app for this, there's an app for that. And I thought to myself, okay, well, wait a minute. I've got an iPhone. And I thought, if there's an app for everything, there's got to be one to keep me from getting distracted. Then I realized there is one, kind of, and it's built right in. It's called the off button. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is a movie about us.
Last year, I spent 322 days on the road.
I flew 350,000 miles. The moon is 250.
All the things you probably hate about traveling are warm reminders that I am home.
You know, I love that line. I fly 350,000 miles a year. It's 250,000 miles to the moon. That's from the latest trailer for Up in the Air, a movie with George Clooney starring as a consultant who fires people. I mean, he's good at his job, which keeps him on the road over 300 days a year. And he lives and thrives in sort of quote-unquote air world, that travel bubble we've talked about on prior episodes where frequent travelers seem to sort of float above the places they visit, insulated by airline clubs and hotel concierge lounges and the special lines that sort of whoosh the status elite along to their next destination, kind of like the United Global Services line cut in O'Hare that I've talked about. And, of course, those nice red carpets you get to walk along. Well, anyhow, I'll post a link to the movie's website. It's not in release yet. As near as I can tell, it's just starting the fall film festival season. I think working to build word of mouth for its release during the Christmas season. The trailer has some good lines, like this advice on security line strategy that Clooney's character, the seasoned traveler, gives to a newly minted Ivy League grad.
Never get behind old people. Their bodies are littered with hidden metal, and they never seem to appreciate how little time they have left. Bingo. Asians. They pack light, travel efficiently, and they got a thing for slip-on shoes. God love them.
That's racist.
I'm like my mother. I stereotype. It's faster.
And going through both trailers on the movie's website, I mean, you can see the premise is a little bit deeper than, you know, frequent travelers, you know, whizzing around through lines. The George Clooney character is using his frequent flying lifestyle to avoid relationships. He just doesn't want to get into anything too heavy.
What kind of relationship do you have?
You know that moment when you look into somebody's eyes and you can feel them staring into your soul and the whole world goes quiet?
Yes.
Right, well, I don't.
Now, while fictional, I got to tell you that there's more than a bit of truth to this. I mean, I've known a number of guys, and not in the gender-neutral Midwestern guys way. I mean, they're all men. So I've known a number of guys over my career who have used or kind of made up the need to leave Sunday night for LA or to stay over the weekend in Europe, really as ways to avoid problems at home. Or once divorced, which all of these guys eventually were, used the same excuses to avoid their, you know, barren new bachelor pad. Oftentimes, when talking to new consultants, giving them some thoughts, some advice about the traveling lifestyle that is part and parcel of consulting, I talk less about who to avoid in security lines and more about the need to manage their personal lives with at least the same amount of effort as they use to manage their frequent flyer statuses. I know I shouldn't be, but I'm always surprised by the number of guys who don't. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 78. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. The bridge music is, we're back to Magnatunes, the We Are Not Evil label. Making Circles by the Selden Plan. Oh Yeah by Eliyahu Sills. And Is That Called Love by Liquid Zen. You can find these and more at magnatunes.com. And as always, if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along. Text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or to M. Peacock on Twitter, if you can sort of compress your gripe into 140 characters, or better yet, share them with everybody and post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who's taken the time to send in emails, tweets, and post comments on the website. Again, sorry for the delay. My little bit of work got in the way of this one, but hopefully it won't happen again, or at least not in the near term. Anyhow, until we speak again, take care, travel safe, and thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.
Life is hell, strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind, the warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing fine.